Yes.
9:12 here, and this is the KPCW Sundance Reel. I'm Leslie Thatcher, along with my co-host here, Beth Fratkins. And joining us in the studio with the film Love Child, part of the World Documentary Competition, I have Valerie Vitek and David Fuchs. I think I got your names right there. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us on your show.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys could make it. So the film Love Child, it's basically about a young Korean family who has a young child, Sarang, which translates to the word love. Yet it's not really a very lovely story at all. So, Valerie, maybe you want to just start and tell us a little bit about the plot of the...
The film follows a trial of a young couple who were charged with manslaughter for neglecting their infant child. And as we follow the case through the trial, several factors come to light. One of them is that the couple were playing an online video game for 10, 12 hours a day. And then the second factor that kind of we look at is the emotional and mental state of the couple. They were very tied to the game, and the virtual space was very real to them. And throughout the investigation and ensuing trial, we really get a sense that these people are immersed in an online world, and that the real world is just as real to them as the virtual world is. And the film really looks at the collapse between the virtual world and the real world through the lens of this particular case.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the situation in Korea, because I know that you do mention that in the film, and that is that Korea's internet is like nowhere else.
Well, of course, when you're talking about internet technologies, it's a very fast-paced landscape that's constantly changing. Korea has the world's most advanced technological infrastructure. They have high-speed internet for a very, very long time before we in the West, here in the U.S., got high-speed internet. And all of the software, applications there, equivalent of Facebook, et cetera, have been around for much longer than our Facebook equivalent. And because of that, they are uniquely positioned to experience the fallout, the cultural fallout that occurs when a society, basically immerses itself in an imaginary world, which is the online world. So that's why the first place in the world to experience something like this, where the baby dies of starvation while they're raising a virtual baby, it makes sense that it would happen in Korea first. And here in the West, we are, experiencing something similar with internet addiction and how it's building now that we have the same.
Do you think there's a possibility that the same sort of phenomena could happen here in the United States as we advance, as our broadband gets faster?
In October of this year, in Tulsa, New Mexico, couple in their mid-40s were charged with neglecting their three-year-old daughter because they were too busy being DJs in Second Life. And there was actually a very well-documented visitations by the social worker. So they're going to trial, I think, even this spring. And so it's very much happening here. And it's a direct correlation between the broadband infrastructure and the devices that we're using and the sophistication of the gaming and the software and, how much time we're spending online. And then that becomes our life, And I think what's so, again, interesting about this film is that we really can look at the virtual space becoming this very vivid, real space that even impacts then our policy and our laws and all of that.
Yeah, one thing I thought that was really interesting in there was the internet cafe phenomena, mm-hmm. because we don't really have that here. I mean, we don't have, huge bunches of kids flocking to these cafes 24 hours a day. So I was sort of thinking that perhaps, that was something unique to the South Koreans. But your story about the people from Kansas really surprises me.
Well, what's interesting is that Korea is a community or collectivist nation. So prior to these PC bungs or cyber cafes, as they're called, becoming popular, Koreans would flock to, you know, communal spas and had a very group mentality. So it's natural that they're that when they go into the virtual world, they'll have that same camaraderie. And you just go just a little to the east to Japan, and you see a totally different way of immersing themselves in technology. There, they have Nintendo Wiis, and everybody is in their small boxed apartment by themselves connecting with the outside world, as opposed to this Korean idea of everyone being in the same room, eating together, and going online together, and meeting up in the virtual world.
Real quick heads up on the traffic, and it's been this way since about 7 o'clock this morning. We still have that gridlock on State Road 248, and it's still backed up to US 40. So either come around from Kimball Junction or just give yourself some extra time to get through there. Lots of traffic in town, so add about 15 minutes to your trip.
And take the bus.
Yeah, once you get here. Talk a little bit about the parents. We really never see them in the film except for maybe covered underneath a coat. Did you try to interview them and they wouldn't go along, or?
We did interview them, and the film is based on interviews done with them and their family. In Korea, there's a lot of social stigma that goes along with what happened, like anywhere else. And the social exclusion from the community would be a really bad thing for the couple. And so, you know, the news media never showed their faces. We never wanted to show their faces and, like, out them as these, like, you know, terrible people. Rather, the story and the film are designed to kind of open up a broader conversation. And so as David and I both felt like to show them in the particularities of their character would just create too much fascination with the fetish of them kind of in this like pathos documentary way. And it would take away from the kind of broader conversation that is happening around the film. I mean, it was crazy. Last week, the Wall Street Journal in Asia just ran this little article, and David did like a Skype interview with them, and it got like 300 shares in an hour on Facebook. I mean, it was just like people want to talk about this. This is something that's really touching on a real thing. And so the focusing in on the couple in their personhood, I think would have made a really good film in some ways, but would have been a harder project for me to like sell for us to sell as a filmmaking team.
Yeah, you know, if we made the focus on the couple, it would be more a film of shaming or humiliating them in their, you know, pointing a finger at them, like, look what you did. And that's not where we want to come from. More compassion is the goal, because we're all facing this issue.
Yeah, tell me, though, they did get sentenced, or at least the husband got sentenced.
That's
but,
right.
Was there any kind of stipulation, though, that they stop gaming, especially given that the woman is pregnant for a second time?
They just promised they wouldn't game anymore. I think that the experience was traumatic enough. And so their lawyer gave an official statement to the court that said they wouldn't game anymore. But it's unclear whether it was a stipulation on their release. I think they did have to go to therapy, which we go into the film a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. We discuss internet addiction aversion therapy, which is basically, and we kind of, you know, explore it a little bit in the film, and you can see, you know, a very beautiful, scenic experience that they're forced to watch, and then as part of the treatment, and then, you know, a very scary images that, you know, shock them into not wanting to play. And one of our
screams
subjects,
in the background.
Yeah,
it's really intense.
Sounds very scary when we're seeing, because we don't understand the language as well, so it's a double whammy. But one of our subjects that went through the internet, who was a gamer, said afterwards that he thought he didn't really want to play games anymore
after experiencing the treatment.
Yeah, and real interesting. Just the difference, though. I mean, are we treating internet addiction any different than we are heroin addiction or alcohol addiction?
Absolutely.
What a great question.
Preliminary studies only show that there's activity in similar brain sectors between what is stimulated in online use and then what is stimulated in drug use. So it's even kind of unclear whether addiction is the right term to put on what's happening. In Korea, they're using the term media immersion, which I think is a more effective term for what's happening. And I think it's this inevitable drift into the virtual space. I think that on some level, it's a design. What we kind of end the film with is it's a design problem. You know, ultimately, if we can design an augmented reality that suits our social needs and betters the human ideals that we triumph, like parenthood, then then we should do that. You know, so
embrace
one,
that.
One example of that is someone in the film, and I don't know if we put it in the final cut, but someone says, you know, that young couple that, you know, whose baby died, if they had been able to game on their phone at home, this never would have happened. And so even that simple shift in the past 2 years, the program has been written to be able to play these multiplayer games on your mobile device on the go. That kind of shift, I think we would stop. We wouldn't see this like dramatic, oh my God, this child's dying and look at these parents. But it might be more blended and more subtle. And, you know, I think in some ways it's like a terrifying reality. And in other ways it's like kind of inspiring. And I think either way, talking about it is super important.
Wow. Love Child, again, it premieres tonight at the Yarrow Hotel at 6 o'clock. It'll also be screening Sunday at the Redstone Cinema at 7 p.m., Wednesday at the Egyptian at 12:15, and Holiday Village on Friday the 24th. Best of luck to you. And
thank
pleasure
you
to meet
so
you
much.
Both.
Thank you so much for having us on here.
Thank you.
Looking to jazz up your Sunday evenings? Well, listen to the Utah Jazz 180 with me, Mitch Echo, every Sunday at 6:06 after NPR News for the latest Utah jazz news and information.
We've had reports of traffic on 248 backed up to US 40. You're going to need to give yourself some extra time if you've got any other traffic reports. You can call those in to Ethel at 649-9004.
Hello, this is Jennifer Kimball with Zermatt Resort and Spa, proud supporters of KPCW. The Spa at Zermatt offers services inspired by the classical European spa experience, including body treatments, facials, nail services, massage, and our new bridal menu. Open daily at Zermatt Resort in Midway, 435-709-9596 or zermattresort.com.